This is an interview with Father John F. Lyons for the Youngstown State University Oral History Department and the Irish American Archival Society Project by Regina Welsh at Father Lyons' home on Northwest Boulevard in Youngstown, Ohio on August 27, 1997 at 1:15 p.m. Father Lyons, we would like you to tell us about your family in Ireland.
Okay. I was born on June 4, 1921. My father was...
Where were you born?
I was born in Ballyhonis, County Mayo. My dad was a farmer and a rate collector, a tax collector. I went to grade school in Ballyhonis.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had five. There were six of us all together in the family. Three boys and three girls, four of whom are deceased. I and my sister Molly are the only living members of the family.
Did any other members of your family join the religious?
No. I went to St. John's High School and College, and from there I went to St. Patrick's Seminary in Carlow, County Carlow. It's the oldest seminary in Ireland. There were 32 of us in the ordination class of 1946, June 2nd. And they're scattered all over the globe in the English-speaking world, like Australia, many of them in America, England, Scotland, and some are in Wales. I liked the seminary. It was better than high school and college because you had a goal and there wasn't as much fighting among the kids as there was in high school and college. We had a goal, and that was to become priests. It was strict, but at the same time we had a lot of fun. We got up at 6:30 every morning, and every now and again we'd get asleep till 7:30 if there was a holiday or a holy day or whatever. My two brothers, Patrick and Richard, are deceased. And my sister Noreen, who was married, Noreen Webb, and Nellie, who was the oldest, are deceased also. Now where would I go from there?
About how you decided to come to Youngstown.
Oh yeah, okay. How did I get to Youngstown? Okay. I had a cousin, a priest, God rest him now. Father Higgins was his name. He was related to Bishop McFadden on the other side of the fence. His father and my father and his mother were brother and sister. But with McFadden, he was related on the Higgins side of the fence. The diocese was established in 43. He wrote to me and told me about a new diocese being established and that he would tell Bishop McFadden of my existence. And there were only three more years till I was ordained. So Bishop McFadden said, fine, grateful, don't they need them? So papers and all kinds of documents were signed because you couldn't get any of the minor orders or major orders unless you had a bishop who would be responsible for you. So that all happened between the rector of the seminary and Bishop McFadden. They corresponded quite often. As you might suspect, the telephone wasn't in as great a use as it is today. So after ordination, I could not get passage to the United States because of the huge waiting list. And it was not until 1947 in May, the very beginning of May, that I got on a ship and came to New York.
Where did you leave Ireland from?
Left Ireland from the town that they used to sail from in those days, Cove, in County Cork. It's spelled C-O-B-H. And it was my first trip on a huge ship. And I enjoyed it immensely because I met a lot of people, beautiful people. There was another priest with me, Father Cragen, who's now deceased, and he was heading for San Diego, California. We had mass on board ship every morning, and there was a lot of entertainment, movies, and people dancing, and it was just like a massive hall out in the ocean.
How long did this journey take?
It took 8 days. 8 days. And then I arrived in New York, and there were people who were related to me by proxy, if you want to call it that. I knew their family, they knew mine, and some of my family married into their family. They met me in New York, and I stayed with them at 101st Street for 5 days. They took me to the train to set me off for Cleveland, because I wanted to visit my cousin there before reporting to Youngstown. So Father Higgins met me at the station, and he had a paper under his arm. And he said to me, "You're the luckiest guy in creation. The plane you tried to get on crashed." Yeah. So I spent 5 days with him, I think it was. And then he and another priest from Cleveland drove me down to Youngstown. I met Bishop McFadden, and he gave me my assignment, and my first assignment was to St. Anne's Church in Briar Hill. St. Anne's is no longer there, of course. It gave way to a highway. I was in St. Anne's for 7 years. And then I went to East Liverpool. I was there 2 years, and then to McDonald. And in 1966, I was made pastor of St. Joseph's Church in Austintown. The bishop gave us 15 acres of land. Excuse me, he told me, go to it, this is all yours. So we had mass in the Wedgwood Cinema for almost 2 years until the church, school, and rectory were completed. In 68, we had our first mass in the new St. Joseph Church, and then we had a regular schedule of masses. The parish was growing, and we had to put on more masses on Sunday. And it was then that I was given an assistant, Father Timothy Kinney, who is now pastor of St. Joseph's Church, or St. Patrick's Church in Kent. Then I had Father McCarthy for a while as an assistant. Father Brown was there as an assistant. And that was it. Oh, excuse me, Father Trimber was also there as an assistant. And then what I did at the beginning of St. Joe's Parish was I went out practically every day knocking on doors, every door in every area, to see who was Catholic and who wasn't. And I picked up a lot of families who were Catholic but were not registered. And I was warmly greeted by those who were not Catholic. And I would even bless their homes. So it gave me a good idea of the people, the topography of the place, and at least it gave the people an opportunity to meet me and to talk to me. And if some of them had problems, we would sit down and talk maybe for an hour or longer. Could be financial, could be marital, could be child problems, but we did our best to come to some agreement and to give them advice, which I thought was suitable at the time. One of my joys was St. Joseph's School, because I went to the school practically every day and went into a classroom to greet the kids and to teach religion. I had a ball. And then at playtime, of course I was younger then, at playtime, I'd go out among the kids, and especially the kindergarten and first graders, and people could hardly tell me from them. But I had a great time with them. I enjoyed them. I just loved the life out of them. I'd go into class and put them on my knee and talk and tickle them, and we'd be laughing. We had a good time. How long more do I have? As I'm coming close to the end.
Oh, well, you have all the time in the world. Anything you want to go over again? When you first came to St. Anne's, was there any bigotry against the Irish?
No, I didn't find any. As a matter of fact, St. Anne's was an Irish and Italian parish. And they got along very well. They really did. Oh, you have a little here and there, but not what people would expect. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably the best integrated parish of two nationalities that I've ever been in.
That's an odd combination.
Yeah, it is. They were great. They got along famously. And there was no, I didn't find any problem at all. Oh, you'd feel an odd person, but it was minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, keep shooting questions, John.
Has your family been over here to visit you?
Yes, my sister and my niece were over to here for my 25th anniversary, and my nephew and his wife were here for my 50th anniversary last year, and it was great to have them. We had a good time. And this year, Father Kelly and I are having a tour, which begins in September 8th and to the 19th. And then Father Kelly and I are going to stay over. When the tour is over, we're going to stay in Ireland till about the 6th of October. And then we'd be back in time for some of the Notre Dame games.
Do you still have family in Ireland?
Yes, I have a sister, Molly, who is in her early 80s.
Was she your housekeeper here for a while?
Yes, yes. And she is now in a retirement home over in Ireland, mm-hmm. Not far from Ballyhonus. So,
Ballyhonus, where your niece owned a hotel?
Yes.
We went there for lunch, remember?
Oh, that's right.
After we had gone to the shrine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. And that was Carmel Vahey. And yes, we had a meal in the Central Hotel,
mm-hmm.
And then we went to Knock and we had mass and had a short pilgrimage there. So I think the people enjoyed that. I think they did.
I did.
So that's what we're mostly what we'll be doing on this trip too. Is we definitely have to go to the shrine of Knock because my mother came from Knock. It was an interesting thing happened when I was a young kid about Knock. We as young kids, maybe 13, 14, 15, we would walk to Knock and stay up all night until Mass in the morning. In those days, the only time you could have midnight Mass or anything was at Christmas, but thank God things have changed. So we waited till the 7 o'clock Mass, whatever it was, and then we started to walk home. And about a quarter of a mile from the Shrine of Knock on our way home, I got the sudden idea. Now I was with one of my brothers and two sisters and then some neighbor kids. I got the idea, let's go in and see Aunt Mary Ann. She was my mother's sister. And their house was practically right on the road. So we went in to see Aunt Mary Ann and her husband Jim Connell. And we had breakfast, a good one. Oh man, was it good. We're starved. And out of curiosity, I said to Uncle Jim, I said, Uncle Jim, how is your mother? She was now in her 90s. Oh, great, great, he said. She was one of the 15 who were witnesses to the apparition of Knock.
Wow.
Okay. So I said, would it be okay to meet her? And he said, sure. And so he brought me up to her bedroom, and here is this adorable old lady. Oh my, she was adorable. The picture of a saint, honest to John, she looked so saintly and so holy. and she recognized me. You're Jack Lyons' son, aren't you? I says, I am. Were there many a knock last night? I says, oh yes, the place was crowded. I says, Mrs. Connell, I know you're tired and you forget. Could you tell me a little about the apparition of what you saw? Well, she says, I will, Johnny, but she says, I forget a lot now, but she says, the most unforgettable event in my whole life, I'll never forget it. Says, there were 50, I made up the 15th. We're all young. Some are in their 18s and 19s, some are in the 15s and 16s, and there were a few who were in 8, 9, and 10. But this particular night, this was in 1878, I think it was, there was a huge light in the end of the church, the gable of the church. Now, this is before they had electricity. And they kind of got scared. They thought, first of all, the church might be on fire. And they walked slowly to it. It was raining, which is nothing new in Ireland. And here they see a woman, a man, and a lamb. They recognized her as being the Blessed Mother from pictures they'd seen. And the man they recognized as Joseph. And they didn't know what to make of the lamb. But evidently Jesus, the Lamb of God. So she told me this, and her face was all lighted up. You'd think that she was looking at it again. And then she said to me, and I could see that she was getting a little tired. She says, you know, Johnny, she says, I can't wait to meet her again. And that was about the end of the experience.
What a beautiful story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've been around so long.
Well, this, they now have, there's quite a shrine built at Knock
Down. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. And they have, independently of the church, 50 confessionals. There, and all the neighboring priests and any priest you can get for the big day of the pilgrimage, of course, is the 15th of August. And they'll have confession go on practically all night. And there'll be thousands upon thousands there. And some people will walk as far as 60 to 80 miles, both ways. To make their pilgrimage. And some of them do it fasting.
Wow. I was very impressed with the place. Very impressed.
Yeah. All they take would be water until they receive communion, and then they would have their breakfast at Knock. So
Well, my husband and I went on that trip to Ireland with you and Father Kelly about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. How many of those trips have you taken? Taken groups from Youngstown over there?
This is going to be our fourth tour. I think you were on the second or third.
Second, I think. Yeah.
Yes, there was one in between. Yeah, this is going to be our fourth tour. And it's all filled. 47, that counting Father Kelly and myself as 45.
We had quite a large group because we had two tour buses on the group
went. And that's why we decided never again. It was too cumbersome. The people didn't get
two buses.
Yeah. People didn't get to know one.
Yes, the people on bus A didn't know the people on bus B, right.
Yeah. So we decided never again. But people were calling up and dogging us, you know, we'll get another bus, we'll fill it, you know. And so that's what we did, but it wasn't a wise thing. We learned. We learned. So, Knock is one of my great loves. And I would say also that this Mrs. Connell, God rest her, one of the witnesses to the apparition, she impressed me so much that I think that it was might have been a short time after that that the thoughts of the priesthood entered my mind. It was amazing, but. Is that about it?
Do you have anything else you want to add? No?
I can't think of anything, to be honest with you. See, since I had the stroke, my memory is pretty
short.
And names, I'm no good at all.
Well, we want to thank you very much for your time today, and we appreciate this interview.